August the 6th, 1945. The Japanese city of Hiroshima became the first city in the world to be destroyed by an atomic bomb. Most of the city was completely decimated, and 75,000 people were killed. Within a 2-mile radius, only 12 people survived that hellish blast. Within a 1-mile radius, only 2 survived. One of these is Mr. Yoji Saito, who today is manager of one of the largest hotels in Macau. For the first time, he tells his incredible story.
私の家というのは17代続いた武士の家柄で、
My family was very well known in Hiroshima. I come from 17 generations of Hiroshima samurai. In Japan, the samurai are the educated professional class. My grandfather was a famous doctor and owned a hospital where my father also practiced. We lived in a large house in the hospital compound.
1945年。
On that fateful day of August the 6th, 1945, I remember being awakened early in the morning by the wail of the air raid sirens. It seemed that some kind of an attack was expected, but by 7:30, all was quiet. Too quiet. As I set off to walk to school as normal, I couldn't help but notice that a strange and almost frightening stillness seemed to hang over the city. I arrived at the school building just before 8 o'clock and lined up as usual with the other 250 students to do our routine morning exercises in the schoolyard. I was 13 years old at this time. Then, suddenly, as I stood there in the yard, we were all struck by an incredibly bright flash of blinding light. That was the last thing I remember. I don't really know exactly what happened to me after that or for how long I was unconscious. All I know is that sometime later I woke up to a living nightmare of horror and death. Stunned and bewildered, I found myself 200 meters away from the place in the schoolyard where I had been before the bomb exploded. The bodies of many of my classmates were strewn all around me. Not all of them were dead. Of the ones who were still alive, I couldn't recognize who was who anymore. Their faces had melted, and they all looked the same. Some had no eyes, no hands. The skin had burned and melted off of their bodies. I remember one boy was crying and crying uncontrollably. I couldn't recognize him, so I asked his name. To my dismay, it was my best friend, Sua. Pitifully, he pled for water, but couldn't see. So I managed to lead him through the rubble to a large river a few hundred meters away. However, once there, I couldn't find the surface of the water. It was completely covered with the bodies of people and horses and wood and debris that had been blown into it by the tremendous blast. Sua died there at the river. I then tried to find the way to my house. Only one word can fitly describe the ghoulish horrors that were all around me. Hell. It was really hell. Fires were raging everywhere, and even though it was the middle of the day, the sky was dark and hazy and filled with smoke and an eerie glow from the burning flames. Everything was melted and black. The very few buildings still standing were gutted and almost unrecognizable. The pitiful moans and cries and sobbing of the dazed and dying survivors filled the air. Normally, it took me 20 minutes to walk from school to my house. On that day, it took 12 hours as I stumbled over the rubble trying to find my way to the hospital compound. Sometimes, hands would reach up out of the debris beneath my feet and grab my ankles. I would stop and try to rescue or help those I could. Not everybody died immediately in the blast. For some, it took 2 or 3 days while they groped and staggered through the streets, scarcely recognizable as human beings. The living dead. Finally, at 8 o'clock that night, I found the pile of rubble that used to be my house. I rejoiced to see that, miraculously, my mother was still alive. She too was overwhelmed to see that I had survived, and we fell weeping into each other's arms.
"Why, you're G," she then exclaimed. "You're naked. Where are your clothes?"
It was then that it dawned on me the incredible miracle that had taken place. The fiery blast of the bomb had blown every last stitch of clothing off of my body and every single hair off of my head. And yet, incredibly, I did not have one single burn. This was truly miraculous because I was later to find out that the schoolyard where I was standing was only 700 meters, that's less than 1 kilometer, away from ground zero where the bomb was detonated. Later on, some soldiers on a truck came and took my mother and me to a bomb shelter where we tried to sleep that night. The next morning, most of the fires had stopped burning, and for the next few days, I wandered throughout the blackened ruins of Hiroshima, searching in vain for my father. I can only assume that he was buried under the rubble of the hospital because we never heard from him again. In those days, nobody knew anything about radioactive fallout and radiation sickness, and so even though God had miraculously spared me from the initial blast, I soon became very sick from exposure to fallout and from eating and drinking contaminated food and water. I soon came down with a very high fever and could not eat. While I was delirious with fever, I had terrible dreams and hallucinations in which I relived the ghoulish horrors I had witnessed. I expected any day to die. It was then that I began to pray to God that if there was a God, that he would please take away those horrible nightmares and visions and save my life. The nightmares ceased. And mysteriously, I started regularly bleeding through the tips of my fingers and the back of my neck. I believe now that God was miraculously expelling the infected blood from my body in answer to my prayers. For the next 5 years, I remained very weak and sick from radiation sickness. During this time, I did not grow at all. My voice remained the same, and I did not mature as normal boys did. My mother was worried because she thought I might end up as a dwarf in a circus. But still, I prayed daily that God would restore my health completely. And sure enough, when I was 19, I miraculously grew 15 centimeters in 1 year, and my body matured completely. That same year, I decided to join the Navy. Well, for many years, I told no one about my experience because those who had been affected by high doses of radiation were looked upon as being different from others. People looked on you as the living dead, and it was only a matter of time before you would die. It was also thought that those who had been exposed to radiation would have abnormal and deformed children. However, I felt that I should tell my future wife about my background and experience. and several girls refused to marry me because of this. Eventually, however, one girl agreed to be my wife, and thanks to God, we have had three normal, healthy, beautiful children. Another miracle. In the Navy, I pursued my career and rose through the ranks to become an admiral, a position I retired from just recently. And it was shortly after starting my new job as general manager of one of Macau's largest hotels that I met a girl who told me about Jesus and his plan of salvation, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. Before, I could not understand why it was that God should have so miraculously spared me out of all of the others. But now I believe the Lord wants me to tell my story in order to warn the world of the nightmare of nuclear war. A war that is absolutely insane, suicidal, and without honor, where millions of innocent men, women, and children can be wiped out in one burning flash. A fiendish and diabolical war that unleashes the very horrors of hell on earth. Horrors that I have experienced and hope will never be repeated again. Also, I would like my story to encourage you and anyone else who hears it that God can do miracles to protect you, and that if he wants you to live, then nothing can kill you, not even an atomic bomb. Truly an amazing testimony, a literal and wonderful fulfillment of God's promises in the Bible to his children. He says, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor, as in Mr. Saito's case, the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee." Well, even though Mr. Saito did not believe in Jesus at the time, the Lord knew that Mr. Saito was his child just the same, and that one day he would come to believe in him. And so he preserved his life by this outstanding miracle. The Lord saved him physically so that one day he could save him spiritually, and that is the greatest miracle of all, the salvation of a soul, the miracle of a changed heart and life. Would you like him to work such a miracle in your life? He can. He wants to. Jesus wants to help and save you and fill your life with his peace and love. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If you will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." And it doesn't matter to him what religion you are, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Catholic, Jewish. Jesus wants to come and live in your heart and stay with you forever as your closest personal friend and helper. Receiving Jesus into your heart is not merely a religious ritual or initiation of some kind. It is the way you can enter into a personal, loving, and never-ending relationship with the Creator of the universe, who loves you and will solve all your problems and heal all your heartaches and will give you love and joy and peace of mind, both now and forever after. To receive Jesus is just so simple. You don't have to go to a church, mosque, or any kind of temple. You can receive him right here and now, wherever you are, by sincerely praying this little prayer. Dear Jesus, I need you to do a miracle in my life. I know that I need help, that I can't save myself. I have heard that you are the Son of God, and that through you I can personally find and know the God of love. Jesus, I need your love to cleanse me from all fear and hate. I need your light to drive away all darkness. And I need your peace to fill and satisfy my heart. So I now open the door of my heart, and I ask you, Jesus, to please come in and give me your free gift of eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, for suffering for all the wrongs I have done and for forgiving me and hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen. God bless you. We love you. And would love to hear from you if you'd like to write us at the address on the back of the cassette jacket. And for more thrilling stories of God's miracle-working power in action today, please be sure to listen to the second cassette in this unique and exciting series, When the Impossible Becomes Possible.